Well, good morning. Welcome to Allergy Central. That time of year in the valley, a lot of that going on. And before we jump into our message this morning, a couple of other things I wanted to add that just needed to be shared today. You know, it's a busy time of year in the church, and it's a busy time of year in our lives, just everything going to April to May, that kind of thing. The church, we're transitioning out of Awana to VBS. That's always a big thing going on, a lot of different things happening, so we're asking you to pay attention. Then what we're doing now is we do April, that's adult Sunday school class, we do a different one in May, we do a different one in June, we do a different one in July, and then in August we have a family Sunday school. Then we kind of get back into the 12 or 13 weeks, so a lot of stuff going on there. Softball's beginning. There's practice today at 12:30 down there at Sequoia School, right down the street. They're just going to play catch, hit the ball a little bit. A week from tomorrow, the game starts. So a lot of exciting things going on that. National Day of Prayer is this Thursday, May 4th, at First Southern Baptist Church. Time's going to be 12 to 1, so if you can make it there. So important for us to look on the website. On the website, all this information is on there for us to keep the communication going on. Look in your bulletin, those kind of things. Just a busy time of year. But let's go ahead and jump into our message this morning. Let me ask you to open your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Can you do that with me? Just go ahead and open your Bibles, 2 Corinthians chapter 13. We're going to be specifically looking at verses 5 and through 10 today. We're going to focus in on them. We'll look at a few other ones around it. But we're going to focus in there. The topic that we've been studying for 5 weeks, today being the fifth week, answers really the question, what are the primary concerns for the Christian? A lot of concerns in life. I've said that a lot of times as we've been going through this. But what are our primary concerns? What are our major concerns in the midst of this life for believers, all it involves, all you got going on, jobs, this, that, activities, family, children coming, all of that. What are some of the main concerns through it all from God's word that we're to have? And that's what we're doing. We're mining these out of Paul's concluding words in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 19, all the way through the end of verse chapter 13. We are mining out of here as Paul concludes and talks about to this church about his concerns and all of that. What we're doing is we're mining out our primary concerns. Let me bring us back to what we're talking about by way of illustration. So think with me and answer this in your own heart and mind. If you were to go to a medical doctor with some concerns about your health, you have unhealthiness in some way. We've all probably done that, or something that's unhealthy with your children. You would listen carefully to the instruction of the doctor, wouldn't you? If he said, well, do this and take this medicine or quit doing that or whatever it was, you got some unhealthy things going on and you would listen well. You'd listen carefully to the instructions because it would affect your health. It would affect your life. It would affect your relationships. It'd be very impactful. So if you go to God's word seeking divine instruction for the health of your soul, you would listen every bit as carefully so you could follow God's instructions for your spiritual health, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you? Absolutely, and that's what we're doing here. It affects our life, it affects our relationships and everything, it affects our spiritual health in this life. That's what we've been looking at as we look at what Paul is talking about here. We're mining out of all the whole counsel of God's word these primary concerns that God would want us to have in this life. And again, not saying all those other concerns are wrong, but the primary ones God would want us to focus in for our health, for our spiritual health, so we'd have a healthy soul, so we would represent the Lord in this life. We could say it in a lot of different ways, and that's what we've been doing. In the midst of life, as a believer, as a Christian, what are the primary concerns for a healthy soul? What are God's instructions for this Christian life that gives health to your spiritual life? What is God's way, God's word, God's truth for spiritual health? Now, I know if I asked you, you could answer clearly. What are the primary concerns of you if you wanted to have a healthy physical life? I could say, you know, write that in your outline. Write that in your bulletin. You could rattle it off. You got to eat right, right? Darn it. That's true. It's absolutely true. You want to have physical health in this life? You want to affect your physical health from the inside to out? You got to eat right. You can't eat a bunch of garbage. You got to drink water. You'd rattle it right off. You got to sleep well. You got to relax. You got to deal with your stress. You can't really drink alcohol or smoke. But could you do the same for your health or for a healthy spiritual life? Could you rattle it off? what would you write down? What is the primary concern to have a healthy spiritual life? As we have looked for the past weeks, we have seen the primary concerns for the Christian in the midst of living this life. One was to remain faithful. Now, I'm just reviewing. I know some of you are just visiting today, haven't been here for the whole time. I'm just reviewing, and I'll go through it here kind of quickly. But if you look in the front of your outline, we've covered this many times. So the one primary concern is that we want to remain faithful. In the midst of everything going on, we want to remain faithful to God's calling in our life. Remain faithful to Him, to His Word, to His truth, to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord, we talked about, to seek after a relationship with the Lord. Remain faithful, to persevere in that, in your walk with the Lord, to be all that God calls a Christian to be. Another thing we looked at is to have selfless love in this life, to consider others more important than yourself. We talked about that in Sunday school today. To have that in your life, that's what you're going to sacrifice and give ourselves for others. We're going to be spiritually healthy when we do that, when we care about others, when we walk in honesty and be truthful and honest in all that we're doing and not trying to trick or deceive or defraud anyone by what we say or do. We've covered that one. Or the primary concern is to honor God, to honor the Lord, to give reverence to Him in all that we do, in attitude, action, and words. We've covered all that. Or our concern, a primary concern for the church, for us, is to edify one another, to edify God's church, to build up Christ's church, which we talked about last week a lot about, that's what Christ is doing in the world right now. He is building His church, salvation, sanctification. He brings people to the Lord through the gospel, and then when we come to the Lord in the gospel, sanctification process is taking place. It's a continued process in our life. And last week, we began to focus in on sanctification. And so does Paul in his closing words. So what we're doing is we're focusing in on what is God saying about sanctification. Sanctification means to be set apart from sin, living to God. That's what it is. That's what sanctification is. It's seeking of holy living. It's spiritual growth, to be more like Christ. We looked at a lot. To be like Christ is like what He was like, is He was set apart from sin, and He was living for God. And so God is working in our life, setting us apart from the wrong way, not God's way, ways that are harmful, ways that sin, to be living for God, and that's spiritual health. And that's what we began to look at last week. And what we're going to continue to do. 1 Thessalonians 4:3, the front of your bulletin, says this: "For this is the will of God, your sanctification." You're becoming more and more like Christ. You growing in your relationship with the Lord. You're growing in your being more and more set apart from the wrong way, from sin, from not honoring God, to living for God. That is God's will for every believer that is here on the planet, from the day they became Christian to the day that they go home with Christ. And then when we go home with Christ, we'll see Him like He is, and then we will be complete. And this is what God is doing in the world. Listen to 1 Thessalonians, front of the bulletin, says, you know, it's 4:3. Listen to what it says as Paul writes in 7 and 8. 4:3 says, "For this is the will of God, your sanctification." Listen to 7. "For God has not called us for the purpose of impurity, but in sanctification." See, God didn't call us for us to live an impure life. The calling of God is for us to move away from the impure life. We're all on the journey. None of us are complete. None of us have made it, but God is at work in our lives, moving us that direction, sanctification. And listen to what verse 8 says. "So he who rejects this is not rejecting man, but the God who gives the Holy Spirit to you." You're rejecting the God who gives the Holy Spirit to you. And God wants us to understand it in that way. We are to embrace sanctification. Thank God for it, that we are gaining as we grow in our relationship with the Lord, the glory of Christ. Listen to what Paul said in 2 Thessalonians 2:13-14. He wrote this. He said, "But we should always give thanks to God for you, brethren, beloved by God, because God has chosen you from the beginning for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and faith in the truth." See, God has come into our life and pierced our heart and the rest of our life. Okay, stay with me here, because this is so vital to our life. You can waste your life. You can read Piper's book, "Don't Waste Your Life." But you can waste your life chasing after the things of this world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, or the things that are good, or the things that satisfy, or the things, all of that. Now, that doesn't mean God doesn't satisfy or any of that. Or we can brace and have a primary concern to go after what God is doing And what God is doing in each one of our lives and desires to do in each one of our lives and wants to do in each one of our lives is to sanctify us by the Spirit and faith in the truth. Verse 14, it was for this he called you through our gospel. God called you to himself. We just sang songs of the incredible when the blood ran red. And my sin washed white. That only happened because God called you. I owe all to you. That's a heart, seeing the truth of what God is doing to bring you to himself. And it was for this that he called you in the gospel, that you may gain the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, gain the nature, the character, the attributes of Christ. See, God wants us, you and me, to see it and understand your sanctification that way. That as believers in Christ, as those that God has rescued and saved and delivered in this life, yes, we could say primary concern is to honor God and worship God and glorify God. And we could name a lot of things, but in the midst of all of that, if I embrace that God wants to sanctify me, he wants to change my life, if I embrace that all of those things that God wants a Christian to be comes from embracing, all right, God, here I am. Work in my life. Move me in the direction you want me to move. It isn't about what I think or what I want to do or what I want to say is what it's about. It's about you and you're sanctifying me for your glory, for me to be representative of you. It's the truth of God's word. It doesn't say anything else in God's word about our life in this matter. In Paul's concluding words, we see the process of sanctification. We began last week. As a primary concern, you want to embrace the process of sanctification. It's in your outline. Turn it over. It said this. Last week we looked at it. It's repentance. I got to change. You got to change. I got to change. Everybody's moving that way with Christ. We talked about all of that. It's to repent. It's to change. It's to go a different direction. Have a change of mind that God is showing you sin or wrong direction or wrong thinking, and he's granting you a different direction, sanctifying your behavior, refining the way of you. You're to be continually repenting, continually growing and changing your understanding or your mind or the direction of your life. That is the life of the believer. When that's not happening, you're not walking with the Lord, because Jesus is guiding us, each one of us, as we follow him away from the things that he doesn't want us to live, and in the way of the things that God wants us to live. And in that process, 2 Corinthians 3:18, God is transforming our very way of us. So repentance is so important. And then we looked at then accountability and discipline are a primary concern. We're to hold each other accountable. There's discipline and correction. It comes from God. It comes from your brothers and sisters in Christ. Piper commenting on this, about this sanctification, and that it has discipline, correction, accountability. He said it very simply. This is how he said it. Sanctification is a community project. We all are seeking it. We're all embracing it. We're all holding each other accountable to it. Spouse to spouse, parent to parent, brother to brother, sister to sister in Christ, and yes, even children to parents. Now, as we continually look at the process, that just brought us up to speed. We're looking at the process of sanctification. Paul, all the way through the rest of the letter, lays some things out for us that are wonderful, that are impactful, that help us see the truth of what God is doing, that help us to receive and understand what God is doing in the work of our life, as he works in our life. We see the process of sanctification includes genuine faith. It includes obedience and maturity. Now, I want you to listen. As God works in your life through the process of sanctification, what Paul is bringing out here, you see it. You see the genuine faith that you have. Others see the genuine faith you have. They see the genuine faith. They see the obedience to God's word. They see becoming more of your pattern and the spiritual maturity happening. You see it. Let's look at what Paul's word says in chapter 13, 5 through 10. But let me read 19 and following out of 12 so we pick up the context. Are you with me this morning? Okay, so here we are. We're in the process of sanctification, and we're picking up in verse 19, and this is where we got it from. In chapter 12, Paul writing, he said, "As all this time you have been thinking that we're defending ourselves to you. Actually, it is in the sight of God that we have been speaking in Christ and all for your upbuilding, beloved." That's where we got sanctification, salvation. Hey, we've been saying all of this, doing all of this, loving you, writing all of these things, doing all of this. You thought it was for this, but we were speaking in Christ for your upbuilding, for building the church through salvation, sanctification, beloved. And then Paul says in verse 20 and 21, "For I'm afraid that perhaps when I come, I might find you not to be what I wish, or maybe found by you to not be what you wish, that perhaps there will be strife, jealousy, anger, tempers, disputes, slanders, gossips, arrogance, disturbances. I'm afraid that when I come again, my God may humiliate me before you, and I may mourn over many of those who have sinned in the past that have not repented of the impurity and immorality and sensuality which they have practiced." So you see what Paul is saying. I'm afraid you won't repent. I'm concerned that you're not going to turn from these things. You even see them in your life. You see them, that's where we got the process of sanctification. That's what I want for you to turn, to change your mind, to change your direction, to repent. And then Paul says in verse chapter 13, 1 through 4, "And if you're not going to, then there's going to be accountability and discipline." Listen to what he says. Chapter 13, verse 1, "This is the third time I'm coming to you. Every fact is to be confirmed by the testimony of two or three witnesses. I previously said when I was present the second time, and though now absent, I say in advance to those who have sinned in the past and to all that the rest as well, that if I come again, I will not spare anyone." That sounds like pretty much discipline, does it? And in the body of Christ, in the family of God, we have accountability and discipline. We talked about all that last week, and we have the authority to. Verse 3 and 4 talk about Paul saying, "And I have the authority to. I have the authority to hold you accountable, since you are seeking for proof of Christ who speaks in me and who is not weak toward you, but mighty in you. For indeed he was crucified because of weakness, yet he lives because of the power of God. For we also are weak in him, yet we live with him because of the power of God directed toward you." Through them, it's the power of God that God has placed accountability, authority, and we looked at all of that, that we're to admonish one another and correct one another. We're to help each other in our life of sanctification. Now, as we come to the next section here, as we come to what Paul says next, he continues to talk about the process, and he says the process includes genuine faith, obedience, and maturity. Look what he says in verse 5 and 6. He says, "Test yourself to see if you're in the faith. Examine yourself, or do you not recognize that this about yourself, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail the test. But I trust you will realize that we ourselves do not fail the test." He says, hey, check yourself out. He says, Christian, believer in Christ, those that are in the church, he says, check yourself out. You're able to see if you're in Christ or Christ is in you. The basis for genuine faith is relationship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's identifiable. It has marks. He says, look, come on, guys, in the church, Living Word Fellowship today, look, examine your life. You see genuine faith? That's what God's word is saying. Look at your own life. You know what? God wouldn't want nobody in this room not having genuine faith, believing they have genuine faith. I wouldn't. How about you? You want any of that for your kids or your loved ones, your friends, your family, your neighbors, anybody? You want them believing somehow that what they're doing and how they're acting and all of that is actually genuine faith, salvation, being saved in the Lord, when it's really just outside stuff? See, because genuine faith is part of the process of sanctification. It's part of it. It's revealed in your life. You can see it. It has marks. So examine yourself and see if Jesus Christ is in you. See the genuine faith. See the process of sanctification. That's what are the marks. That process of changing, that process of growing, that process of becoming more like Christ, that process, do you see it in your life? I think that's an important question for all of us to ask. You know, and it's not an outside external thing. It's not, I attend church, I kind of don't like sin, I was baptized, I had an emotional experience once, I went forward, I know some facts about Jesus. That's not marks of genuine faith. Because it's not an outward thing, it's an internal thing. It's what God does. You've been made a new creature in Christ. You have this new life in Christ. It's there, and I don't want to share or teach or have anybody doubt that they have faith. That's not what this is about. Paul is saying, look, just look at your life. Is Christ in you? You're going to see and understand that in Paul's life, Christ's in him. It's not so much an outward thing. It's not external thing. It's a genuine faith that is in eternal work. Just like when you focus on your physical health, from the inside, the body becomes more healthy, which affects the outside. But you could fake that you're doing better physical health with a lot of lipstick and makeup, can't you? And you can go to the doctor, and you can have them suck this out and build this over and change all of this, but you really haven't dealt with your physical health, have you? Because when you deal with your physical health from the inside, it changes your life to the outside. And in our spiritual life, in our spiritual walk, in our spiritual health, you can put on all of the marks of the outside. You could paint it up. You can do all of those kind of things. But God knows, and we're to know, and we're to want to be promoting sanctification. I don't want you to look like you don't have sin in your life. I want you to look like that God is working in your life, dealing with the sin that you have, because everybody in the room's got a bunch of it. And the church isn't to look like they're not sinners. The church is to look like they're repentant sinners, and the process of sanctification is taking place in their lives for the glory of God, and we are gaining the glory of Christ. That's what the world needs to see, not people that don't sin. That doesn't change anybody. And this is what Paul's getting to, the process of sanctification. It should be glaring from our lives. It should be a beacon to the world. The process of sanctification. There ain't nobody in the room holy apart from the holiness of Christ that's put upon you, that you wear, that God has infused in you through the life of Christ. But I'm not complete yet, are you? Now I'm sinning less than I did before. I'm glad of that. And you guys might get upset. The pastor says he sins. Come on, get him down. But it's an eternal work. It changes you from the inside. So what are the marks of genuine faith? Let's go through some things. You see your outline there? This is what you see in your own life. And you know what? They're going to be happening on the scale. It's going to be like this, you guys. There's not like, oh, better Christian happening more, this mark, worse Christian happening. If it's happening, you're the Christian God has for wants from you. Okay? Let's get out of our humanity and get out of our flesh and quit judging each other and looking at each other about, ooh, good, this, that. Let's just embrace and say, let's just be sanctified. Let's just let God work in our lives. And wherever you're at, let me come alongside and help you wherever you're at, because you're all on a journey and none of us get over here till we go be with the Lord. Okay? And so we're all somewhere in here in different things in our life. And so let's be transparent. Let's be honest. Let's be Christians. Let's be believers in Christ and say, I'm in the sanctification process here. And guess what? You've helped me with this, and I've seen that in you, and you held me accountable to that, and God's worked in this, and this is all going on. And let's see who we truly are apart from God, total depraved, rescued by the grace of God, and working in that grace to become more like Christ. And if I can jump four steps and you can jump 14 when the goal is Strathmore, let's not brag about 4 to 14. You with me? So let's look at the marks. This is an important message for us as a church. This is for God to help us in our life to be the Christians that God wants us to be. To get out of the things that hold us back, to get out of the things that we cover ourselves with, to get out of the things that we think we're judged or we think we're evaluated or we think others are better than us and all of that. I am so glad people follow the Lord. I'm so glad people are way down the road. I am so glad that people are considering others more important, more than I am. I am so glad for all of that God's work in our life. I just want to embrace the work. How about you? Can we do that? Come on, you guys. Can we do that? Can we just embrace that God is sanctifying our lives and that we are going to join in and embrace each other and where that is? And yes, we'll have some admonishment and correction and some coming alongside, but let's not compare. Let's not put each other up to the things. Let's just identify the things that God has in genuine faith and move along in obedience and maturity. How about that? Sound good? Anybody want out of all of that stuff that humans do to each other? I certainly do. So let's look at what they are. First one is you got to keep your mic on. First one is penitence. It relates to repentance. Just like Jesus said in Matthew 5, 3 through 5, he said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Genuine faith produces a recognition of your sinful self. You're poor in spirit. I mean, you're poor in spirit. That's what Jesus is saying in the Beatitudes in Matthew 5, 3. That you recognize, apart from God, I didn't want to say that word, but sometimes I say that anyway. Apart from God, I'm totally depraved. Apart from God, I can do nothing. That's good. That's the word of God. I'm not saying anything outside of the word of God. Apart from God, I'm unworthy in any and everything that I do. I'm not good one iota. Penitence, recognizing who you are. Recognizing what God has done. Genuine faith produces a recognition of your sinful self, poor in spirit, which causes a believer to mourn over their sin. That's what it does. It causes you to mourn over your sin. Man, I'm just sinful, and Christ saved me, and I mourn over it. That's in verse 4 of chapter 5 of Matthew. And then in verse 5, it says, and be humble. So you see that you're a sinner, and even though you've been saved and you got sin in your life and you got to deal with the sin, it causes you to mourn over it, and it causes you to be humble and know that only God is the one that's going to change this. I was never good in the first place. And this is causes a believer to acknowledge and confess their transgression, then repent, turn, change of mind, change of direction. That's the process of sanctification taking place on the inside. Is that a primary concern? Is that the faith that you have? That's genuine faith. That's a mark of it. You know, I mean, we're all... Now, remember, I'm preaching what the Word of God says it is in perfect. So in some form of my life, in some form of your life, what it is, I'm understanding how sinful I am. I'm thankful that God doesn't show me all of myself, but what I can handle in the moment, and He's working on, and then I mourn over that, and I get humble over that, and then I confess my transgressions, and I ask the Lord to change me and change my direction, change my way, and I want to follow the Lord. That's taking place on the inside by God's divine power. He's at work in me. It's the divine power. Apart from the divine power, this doesn't happen in people's lives. It's the work of God. David said in Psalm 32:5, I acknowledge my sin to you and my iniquity, and I did not hide, and I said, I will confess my transgressions to you, Lord, and you forgive the guilt of my sin. And David did that over and over and over and over. And he was a man after God's own heart because God was sanctifying him. God was at work in his life, changing David, moving him along. Proverbs 28:13 says, he who conceals his transgressions will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them, that's repentance, will find compassion, the compassion of God to forgive you, to by his grace change your life. It's important. It's a sign of faith. It's a mark of faith, of genuine faith. This is happening over and over and over for the believer. Listen, I'm not completed. It's going to be going on in my life all the time. Neither are you. It's going to be going on. There's no way we should be walking around acting like it's not going on, acting like we don't need help with it, acting like it's not happening, acting like that's not going on. We should all be, in the sense, transparent, revealing, and receiving that God is doing this in our life and having each other help us with it. We're not hiding this from the outside. God is working with you from the inside. It's called sanctification. It's a mark of genuine faith. Like I said, no one's complete or perfect in this. So we know what's going on. Next mark, submission. That's not hard, right? Genuine faith, submission, right? You're submitting yourself. You know, we looked at it last week. You submit to one another, right? You're subject to one another in the fear of Christ, Ephesians 5:21. So if your brother or sister comes along and admonishes or corrects or says something, this, that, or whatever, we're to be submissive to one another. The Bible teaches that. We're to receive that from each other. It says, obey your leaders. It says to be submissive to your leaders. It says, wives, be submissive to your husbands, and husbands, love your wives. There's a subjection going on. And obviously to the Lord, we're to be submitted to the Lord. We sang about it today. Turn your Bibles to Luke with me. Turn your Bibles to Luke 14. So submission is a mark. And so if you have genuine faith, submission is going on. Now, you might be battling it. There might be rebellion in you, all of those kind of things. Don't ever take what I'm teaching as, okay, if that's perfect, I have genuine faith. No, it's active. I have genuine faith. Look at Luke 14 with me, and I want to share with you Jesus and his words on what he taught on this. And such an important thing, because this is where God's going in our sanctification. And this is a mark of genuine faith, that you've submitted to the Lord Jesus Christ, that you've surrendered to him. We're going to look at verse 25 and following. Now remember, these are Christ's words, and man, he is strong here, okay? I mean, he's straight up to point. He's really strong here, but God knows that we need to hear that if you have genuine faith, there's a submission to the Lord that is just part of your life. Listen, Jesus says this, verse 25, now large crowds were going along with him, bunch of crowds following him, big crowd, a lot of people, and he turned and said to them, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and his mother and his wife and his children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. That's pretty strong, isn't it? And what he's saying, in comparison to their love for Jesus Christ, if you love your wife, your husband, your kids, your life, your home, your car, your fun, you love any of that more than Christ, you're not a follower of Christ. There's not a submission going on. That's pretty strong, isn't it? But see, God is truthful here. God is wanting to work in our life. This is about what God is doing and sanctification to take place in the life of a believer. There's a submission to the Lord that came from God in your salvation. Important, isn't it? It's a genuine mark. Now, that doesn't mean that you don't struggle with submission, okay? It doesn't mean that you're not fighting that, that God is showing you that, that you're growing in that. But there's a in you, by your new life in Christ, I'm submitting to the Lord. Look what he says next. Who does not carry his cross, own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. And then he goes on. Listen to what he says. For which one of you, when he wants to build a tower, does not first sit down and calculate the cost and see if he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and not able to finish, all who observe it begin to ridicule him. Listen to what Jesus is teaching, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king, when he sets out to meet another king in battle, when he first sits down and consider whether he's strong enough with 10,000 men to encounter the one coming against him with 20,000? Verse 32, or else, why the other is still far away, he sends a delegation and asks for terms of peace. Look at verse 33. So then none of you can be my disciple who does not give up all his own possessions. What he's talking about is disciples submit unreservedly to Jesus no matter the cost. And God is sanctifying us to that's becoming more and more our life. And we see it. And it's there. It's genuine faith. It's a mark. Another mark, love. Look at your outline there. That would make sense. Love, that's a real mark. You have real love for God, love for his word, love for his people of God, love for the lost. By divine power and your new life in Christ, God put it there. You and me fall short of loving completely, comprehensively, but it's there. It's in genuine faith. I'll skip those verses today because you guys know 1 John 4, 7 through 11. And first, we love because he first loved us. The only way that I truly love God or love his word or love you or love the lost, have a genuine concern to give of myself on behalf of someone else with passion, and nobody made me do it. That's just what God wants me to do. That we all know that's an identifying mark of genuine faith, the love that we have. The last mark I wanted to cover would be a desire for righteousness. So as we're looking at this, there's a penitence going on. There's a remorse, sin. Not perfectly, okay? I don't want the enemy to get in and say that, but it's happening. You can identify it in your life. You see it. If you're not changing, if you're not repenting, if there's really no godly sorrow over your sin, and there's really, I'm not really submitting anything into the Lord. I got some outside things. I do this, I do that, and all of that. I would want you to go before the Lord and say, Lord, do I really have the faith that you want me to have? Have you given me the saving faith that saves you, that rescues you, that changes you? Because that's what God wants for you. He doesn't want the enemy and sin's deception to keep you from any of that. He doesn't want a church teaching any of that, that if you have these certain outward signs, these certain outward things, that you're saved, and you know, and we'll just kind of going on. I care way too much for you to let you believe that you know and you've been born again and you've been rescued and regenerated and now you're going to go to heaven with me forever based upon church attendance. Or you don't like some bad things in your life. Because first and foremost, what you're missing is the relationship with the Lord that I have and others have through faith in Christ that's greater than anything this planet could ever offer. It's not even comparable. I could give you $1 billion. It's not comparable to knowing the Lord Jesus Christ, to having the security and assurance of that I am the Lord's. I'm God's child. God is at work in my life. Nothing comes my way that doesn't pass through the hand of God. And in eternity, I will be with him forever in that place that Dwayne talked about, guaranteed, because I know the Lord. It won't be based upon how good or bad or indifferent or... It's not based on me. It's based on Christ. There's nothing like that in this world that's comparable to knowing that you're the Lord's. And what happens when you come to faith in Christ, there becomes a desire in your heart for righteousness. Some of you might want to write this down. What righteousness means is what God desires and what God requires. Righteousness. That's the original Greek word, what it means. To seek after, to do what God requires and what God desires, it comes into your heart. Jesus said in Matthew 6 that it's a mark of salvation, that you thirst and hunger for righteousness. Look at Romans 6 with me real quick. I'm going to get through this today. But this is really good, isn't it? Isn't this really good? I mean, this is really helping because you know what? You see this in your own life. It might be weak in areas. It might not be doing as grand as you would want it to be in areas, but you have the life of Christ, and it's there. You understand that it's a battle. You understand that you're working hard at it or not working hard at it, or you've kind of set it aside, or you haven't made it your primary concern. It's been kind of a side burner concern, but when you see that this is in your life, you know you're the Lord's. You got genuine faith. That I have a true love for God and love for others, that I have, I want to turn, I want to change, there's a submission to the Lord that's there. I don't always follow it, and there's a desire for righteousness. Look at chapter 6 of Romans. Let's look at beginning in verse 11. Listen to what Paul wrote there. He said this. He said, chapter 6, verse 11 and following, he said, "Even so, consider yourselves to dead to sin." That's in your salvation. That's in your new life in Christ. This is what God did. We are actually not a slave to sin anymore, but we're to consider ourselves dead to sin. I don't want to be alive to doing what God doesn't want me to do. Now, I do it, but I don't want to be alive to it, okay? But it says this, but consider yourself alive to God in Jesus Christ. I am alive to God in Jesus Christ. I consider that every day. I am alive to God in Christ Jesus. My sin has been washed away. I was dead in my trespasses and sins, and I was rescued and made alive and made in Christ. And look at verse 12. "Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its lust." Pretty simple instructions. Verse 13, "And do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead, and your members," that's you and your life and all that you do, "as instruments of righteousness to God." I am an instrument of what God desires and what he requires for me to live as his own child. And I can present my life as an instrument of that. Or I can present myself as an instrument of what he doesn't want me to live and what he doesn't desire for us to live or what he doesn't require us to live. But I've been set free. And so I can make a choice in my life here. And there's a desire in me for righteousness. Look at verse 18. "And having been freed from sin, you became slaves of righteousness." I've been freed from being a slave to sin. That's what all unbelievers are. They're a slave of sin. They can't be anything other than that. That's what God's word says. You're enslaved to self-gratification, to lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life, enslaved to it. That's how depraved we are. There's no goodness, no way out other than apart from the grace of God to pierce your heart with the truth of Christ, to open it up, and you put your faith in Christ, and God frees you from sin and being enslaved to it. That's what he did. And you became slaves of righteousness. By the power of God and divine life, he's put it in your heart that now you, your master is Christ, and you are in your life, there's a desire to do what God requires, what God deserves. Verse 19, and I'm speaking in human terms, because of the weakness of your flesh, for just as you present your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, resulting in further lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, resulting in sanctification. It's incredible, isn't it? This is a primary concern of our life each and every day. This is what God is wanting us to do in our life. And the process of it is genuine faith for you to see it, for God to reveal it to you to see that that faith is happening, that you have that faith, that God has given you a new life in Christ, and it's coming about in your life. That it's apparent, that it's there. Now, you can walk presenting your members to unrighteousness and doubt that you have faith and question that you have faith and think that your faith isn't really that big a thing and thinking that sanctification isn't that big a thing and that you know, what I want in life and what I want to do and what I get, just like the rest of us that we struggle with, and that I want it to be this way and I want to do these things and I want to eat cake again and then one more time eat cake, and that's the way I want to live my life. I understand all of this and I'm saved and God has that out there, but I'm just going to kind of let sin's deception keep me from these kind of things. You can go through all of this. God is not a respecter of persons. He'll allow you to drown for 45 years, and then when you go meet the Lord, go, wow, grace. Because God is God and we are not, and that's what God's about, but we can embrace what God is doing in our life. We can make a decision as a body of Christ, as a church, to say we're going to help each other out of that. We're not going to do that. We're going to embrace sanctification, because next is obedience. Turn back to 2 Corinthians. I'm going to take a little extra time, but I want to finish up this thought. Back to 2 Corinthians verse 13, because what's next is obedience, genuine faith. And when you embrace with the marks that God has given us, to penitence, to submission, to love, to responding to the desire of righteousness, what God does is help you with your obedience. Verse 6 and 7, Paul says this, or 7, 8, 9, now we pray to God that you do no wrong. Not that we ourselves may appear approved. You doing right, you being obedient, has nothing to do with making the pastor look approved. That's what he's saying. It's got nothing to do with it. Because I may be disapproved. Because people may not approve of me. They might not approve of my teaching. That's what Paul is saying. It doesn't matter. This isn't about what you do representing me or representing the teacher. That's what he's saying. He says, but we pray that you would do what is right. Listen to what he says. Not do what's wrong. That you do what is right, even though we may appear unapproved. For we can do nothing against the truth, but only for the truth. For we rejoice when we ourselves are weak, but you are strong. Now listen to what he said. Paul prays for them as they see that they are in Christ, that they have genuine faith. Wherever they're walking, the Lord is, but God shows them that they would be strong and that they would do what is right. To do what is right is to present your members as instruments of righteousness. To do what is strong is to be faithful. Obedience to God's word, to God's truth, is taking place. You're to be a doer of God's word, not a hearer of it. And so he prays that we would be obedient to God's word, because that's going to bring righteousness and strength. That's what he's talking about. This is powerful, isn't it, you guys? Because sometimes we think in our mind and heart, if I'll just be obedient, if I do obedient, and I'm going to be obedient, I'm going to do what God's word, obedience. Yes, God says it is an act of love, showing love. John 14:15, if you would demonstrate your love with me, you'd keep my commandments. Yes, that is God's truth and God's way. But when you embrace sanctification, when you see the work of what God doing in your life, what it is when you embrace that sanctification, that God is wanting to grow us and change us, what God does is work in our life to walk on the top of our feet in obedience, not the bottom of our knees. To say, God is really working in my life. Craig, this is what you were talking about today in Sunday school. These are the fruit of the Spirit. This is the God working in our life, that when we do the things, embrace the things that God wants us to do, the Holy Spirit works in our life, and obedience becomes the joy of our life. It becomes the love of our life. It becomes self-control and kindness and all those kind of things, because it's who I am in the Lord, and I'm empowered by the Holy Spirit to live who I am. This is what you're getting to today. This is incredible. Who hasn't been bummed by the drudgery of you got to be obedient, right? Yes, we want to obey God's word. It is a key to the word of God that we are to obey what God says. But God gave you a desire to do what's right. And God gave you submission in your heart to the Lord. He gave you a love for God, a love for his word, and love for others, a love for the lost in your salvation. He gave you genuine faith. He gave that to you. It's in you. Okay, so it's embracing, okay, God, work in my life and make me more like Christ. And you know what happens? Obedience starts to become the pattern of your life. And we pray to God that we'll just do what's right. And we pray to God for each other that we'll be strong. And that we ask God to do the work that he does when we embrace our sanctification, when we embrace genuine faith. When we quit letting the enemy lie to us, and the world lie to us, and the false teacher lie to us. When we quit letting all that go on in our mind and heart and talking about that it's this and this and this, it's believing and trusting and following the Lord Jesus Christ in a transformation relationship that God is sanctifying us. It's my primary concern, and as God works in my life, I'm going to be obedient. That's what God does. Yes, I want to focus on obedience, but it comes from embracing what God's doing in my life. Had a bunch of scriptures there, but I'll let them go. He concludes with this. The process of sanctification is maturity. Look at verse 9. And I'll finish up with this, because I'm going to pick this up next week. This we also pray that you be made complete. We pray for our children, we pray for our spouse, we pray for our family, our friends, our church family, each of us, that sanctification would be taking place. To this end, we pray for you always, Paul wrote in 2 Thessalonians 1:11, 12, that our God will count you worthy of your calling and fulfill every desire of goodness and the work of faith with power, that sanctification through obedience, so that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ will be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. Changed life, set apart from sin, living for God. And as you go that way, Paul says, and we're praying that God would make you mature, that he would bring complete maturity. That's what he's talking about. That he would grow you, that he'd bring you to that place. We all participate in that process. You remember what we looked at Ephesians 4? We're to equip the saints, do the work of the ministry, till we all attain the unity of faith and the maturity that we're to have in Christ. So we're going to close with this. Let's remember that we're all participating in this together. That what Piper said is absolutely the truth of God's word. This is a community project. We hold each other accountable. We encourage each other. We strengthen each other. We talk to each other. You need each other. I need you. You need me. That's how God has designed this. This is not an individual sport. This is not an individual family thing. This is a body of Christ. It's the church age. That's the dispensation that we live in. God has designed it that our sanctification, that our obedience and maturity that comes from it is a work that he is doing in us through us. We participate in it together. You read it, right? That's how Paul could say. In verse 5, he said in Philippians, he said this, I'm so thankful and grateful, and I thank God that in your participation of the gospel, participation, koinonia, a shared and common life that we have with each other. And I, you know what I know? God's going to finish it in all of us. And he's going to use each and every one of us to help each other in this life of sanctification. So, will we embrace it? Hello? Will we embrace it as a primary concern of our life as the body of Christ? Absolutely. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this morning, and and for your word to us today, Lord, just encouraging us to really see where we've stumbled in this. That's okay. Not okay to stumble, but okay to see it, and for you to reveal it to us, for us to see where we need to change or repent or turn or grow, because that's the process. That's the reality. That through your word and your truth, you're helping us get out of the deception and the make-believe of this world. That somehow we can live a persona in front of people that we're good and righteous and holy because of us. It's only because of you. Each one in the room only does one thing right because of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and following God. What's been instilled in us in this sanctification process is the desire to be sanctified, for you to work in our life, and knowing that it's only by you and you alone that any of this happens. It isn't by something else outside of you and your truth and your word and us embracing it. That's the reality of it. So help us, Lord, to be transparent, to be receptive to each other, to know that each one in the room can help each other with our sanctification. That when we're short with each other, we can help with that. When we're impatient with each other, we can help with that. When we're negative or critical or whatever it might be that is in our life, Lord, that you are working in our life, that we can help each other turn, submit, love, do what God requires and desires in our obedience to you. You bring forth the fruit that changes us. It's incredible how much it's not us and how much it is you and what you want to do. We give you praise for this day. Pray for the meal today in the fellowship. We thank you for the life that we get to live. We thank you for those that live for you that have passed recently, their testimony, Lord. How can we not be grateful for the life that they lived, embracing your change in their life? None of it perfect, but apparent. We all saw it. And all those that we mentioned today and many, many more. And we pray for your grace for those that are in our life that don't know you, that may be coming to the place where they won't have the opportunity anymore. Help us, Lord, to be bold in our sharing of Christ, knowing that he's the only answer to any of the life to come and any of this life. We give you praise for the family of God that you've given to us, for that you've brought us together, that you know each and every one of us, that you've placed us here for your purposes and reasons, and you desire to use each one of us for your glory and for our good and for the growth of your church to represent Christ, and it's all about you, and we are just so thankful for where we're at and what you're doing. So this day we praise you, and will each day for the grace bestowed upon us. In Christ's name we pray, amen. Thank you for your patience today.